Thorn. Oh,
boy.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you so much. It wasn't your oddball this time.
Oh, I love this gang. I love this gang. These are all good people.
Xander, in case you haven't picked up on it from the blooper reels, it is a tradition that somebody, quote-unquote, accidentally talks over weird during the introduction of almost every gathering.
And I could have gotten away with it with that one. I could have just pretended it didn't happen, but I had to be distracted.
Shit. Do not try to laugh and drink scotch at the same time.
All right.
Oh, no, that's a waste.
Oh,
that hurt.
Your thoughts are going to be clear and healthy.
Panya's just watching her husband die.
Panya, don't let him die.
All right, kid. Are we capable of being quiet on the set?
Maybe.
Hello, Internet. It's time again for another Assorted Calibers podcast blooper reel. This is reel number 36. This is a special benefit for Patreon members. If you're listening to this and you're not a Patreon member, that's okay. But consider going to patreon.com/assortedcalibers podcast and getting square with the house. If you're listening to this and you are a Patreon member, think about sharing it with somebody. You know, share the love. See if they like it. Now sit back and enjoy some of the clips I swept off the cutting room floor for you. Also be warned, they do contain some adult language. And please do not operate heavy machinery while listening to the ACP blooper reel. We've had zero fatalities so far. I'll be the first. All right, well, we're going to do the quiet on the set part now.
Okay.
Pause for people not being quiet.
Do you remember what number we're doing?
I sure do. 25.
Four. Okay.
ACP!
Don't think I don't know what you're doing either, because you're being like really soft right now, and you're trying to get me to turn up the volume, and then when you come on, it's, hello, Internet!
I love you, Aaron. hilariously enough, no, I'm just, I'm transitioning.
Really? Does your wife know?
Yes.
Well, good for her for being supportive. Are you going to keep the beard?
Oh, yeah, I have to.
Well, that's what I thought.
I mean, she said she'd divorce me if I shaved it off.
You're going to be a rather hirsute lady.
I'm going to be a Xur, thank you very much. And if I get good enough at it, I might even know what that means. No, I'm something different. What kind of different? Well, you're just going to have to hang out with me to find out. What if I don't want to?
My gender is a fluffy ducky. My pronouns are quack.
So, is anyone else reading the running commentary here?
Yes. Padu, what's her documentary on?
I think quantum mechanics.
Whoa.
I mean, I got nothing on that one.
I got respect. That's what I got.
I can neither add nor cut crack wise. But you know what I can do is I can start a fucking show before we have more problems.
What number show is it? She's tried to listen to this one thing four times over.
And you keep on making noise.
Yes.
All right. Well, then how about you shut the fuck up so I can say hello, Internet?
I guess I could do that.
Okay.
All right. So, the magics. Oh, the magics. I just like playing with the microphone. Hey, Aaron, let's make some magic.
Well, you got me wet.
Yeah, score! You still got it, you old fuck. No, I'm unable to hear you at all.
Okay, good.
Please speak louder. And broadcast and unplug all the plugs and plug them back in.
Huh. I'm going to say no.
Well, fine. Then I won't hear you the whole show.
That's okay.
No matter how hard you try.
Duck vagina.
I didn't hear you say duck vagina. No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls.
And as usual, I go take a shit and you guys show up.
Oh, I was about to say, David, I think Oddball's taking a shit.
but instead you had to pretend that you couldn't hear me saying duck vagina.
That's true. That was also a fun game.
Yes.
How is
although I also took the time to make a Ward 8, well, a modified Ward 8.
That's got orange juice in it, doesn't it?
Well, actually, that's the modification on this one. Instead of orange juice, I substituted blood orange liqueur, and so I'm going to see how that works.
Okay.
Damn.
Yes. Right? Sander. This is why we invite him back. We can count on him for these things. But yeah, that's Norris Dam, which was the first dam in the Tennessee Valley Authority program across Tennessee.
There. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No, no, we cannot hear you now.
I know where you live.
This is true. Of course, right now you couldn't get up the driveway, most likely.
I'd figure it out.
You'd get most of the way up the lawn, bogged down, say, the hell with it, I'll kill him on foot.
Yep.
Of course, bit of an incline. By the time you got to the house, you might be a little out of breath.
That's okay.
I did a Spartan race last year. I can do
that. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
What's a Actually, Spartan? I did a Spartan race in the rain.
Which adds some weight.
What's a Spartan race?
It's one of those obstacle races, you know, 3K plus. You have to climb over shit and crawl under barbed wire and
crush a man's,
carry shit.
Crush a man's skull with your thighs. Could you crush a man's skull with your thighs, Oddball?
I don't know.
Maybe an old man with brittle bones?
Well, see, there's the
rub.
Doesn't
matter how strong your thighs are, the skull is designed to resist that kind of pressure.
And as people get older, their bones get harder.
Whoa. Okay, good night. Classic Firearms is running a contest to win an Egyptian Hakim, an 8mm Mauser, which is basically the Egyptian version of the Swedish Legionman.
Yeah.
But an 8mm Mauser as opposed to 6.5. Huh.
They've always felt like clunky rifles in my hand.
They are.
I've heard a lot of people talk about, 6.5 Creedmoor is just the new 6.5 Swiss.
To a degree, but it's 6.5 Swedish for modern metallurgy.
Right.
And modern rifle designs. But you can definitely say that, there's quite a bit of overlap between the two.
I have a 257 Roberts.
Which is simply a 7mm Mauser neck down.
To 6.5.
Mm-hmm. It was apparently an excellent hunting round. And was it Bell who used that to take elephants? One of the white ivory hunters used a 257 or 7mm Mauser when he could get, depending on which ammunition he could get.
Crazy.
Yeah, but he studied them intently and knew that the best way to take an elephant was, while it wasn't looking at you, get behind and off to one side and shoot it behind the ear.
Yeah. Well, I know there was one of those guys was doing it with 303 Brits,
and was
doing that
incredibly available cartridge.
Yeah, it was doing in the British mandate. It was taking down elephants with brain shots.
Yep, but I know that one of the others maybe.
And an elephant's head is very, very 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 large, and you need to find where the brains are.
That is Photo Finish. Who has appeared various times in the My Little Pony franchise, but make her first appearance in the season one episode, Green Isn't Your Color. And I think she's vaguely modeled after Anna Wintour. Haha! Yes, I am correct. I'll send you a link.
Look at that. I wonder if she's also the basis for Edna from The Incredibles.
Probably. Okay.
I'm scrolling down to the bottom of Wikipedia where it says like the cultural references. Oh, they don't specifically state it, but they do note that she does have pretty much the exact same hairstyle. And again, gigantic goddamn glasses.
Mm-hmm. And Edna had some sort of accent.
Yeah.
So.
She's that. That's supposed to be an English accent? Interesting. I'm just not so amazed because I was like, I was making a Vidal Sassoon joke today because I'm that many old. And my mother-in-law went and got her hair cut, and I just said, I want to see what Vidal Sassoon, and I invited her over for dinner tomorrow, and I said, plus I want to see what Vidal Sassoon did to you. And she got a chuckle out of it, but I was like looking up going, I remember seeing Vidal Sassoon commercials as a kid, and I looked up, I'm like, where was he from? He had like a crazy accent, and yeah, he's from England. I'm like, oh, okay. He was Jewish, so I don't know if that's like, you know, a little bit of that like cultural Jewish accent thing, but I don't know.
Or it's entirely possible it's all an affectation.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Though I just looked it up, but Jackie Mason was absolutely born in the United States. I'm like, he's not like from Eastern Europe, is he? Nope. He's just Jewish as fuck. That's one of those like interesting things, like the quote unquote, you know, the Ashkenazi Jewish accent just kind of transcends all borders. God bless him. It's a good accent. I hope it doesn't die out, because it seems like everybody that I can think of that's got that is just our old Jewish men. But Yehuda Reamer's got a little bit of it going on. A
little bit.
Next time I see him, and I'll definitely say, dude, turn it up as fuck. Mel Brooks and Jackie Mason aren't getting any younger, man. You gotta carry the torch for them. Mazel tov.
Okay.
Well, shall we make Zim Magics?
Yes.
I suppose, if we have to.
If we must. Oh, the pain.
Yes, master.
I was actually doing more of an Eeyore. Good morning, if it is a good morning, which I
know. I guess.
Eeyore. Not that it matters.
Okay, well, shall we kick this pig?
Yeah, let's kick... Well, first... Ooh, holy shit. That's so glad I recorded that, son of a bitch.
You're doing an adult pig. I was doing piglet.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely the full-grown sow.
Well, I know who's had experience squealing like a pig. So.
But yeah, David, I need to open a barbecue joint now. There's just no other alternative. Can't turn back now.
Yeah, well, David is in barbecue country now.
Yep, or at least East barbecue country. Did I tell you, my wife was on a conference call and talking about, it was shortly after we moved here, and she was talking about how, you know, she really liked being in East Tennessee, you know, the barbecue is really good, and there's someone else in the conference call who is from Memphis. He's like, y'all think that's barbecue? That's adorable.
Oh, the folks in Memphis got pissed a couple of years ago.
And shot up the city?
Well, I mean, probably.
It is like, that was like a light Tuesday, South Chicago so. Light.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But one of the major national tourism mags did an article on where to find the best barbecue. And they actually said Nashville.
They actually said North Carolina.
No, they said Nashville.
I like the mustard sauce.
I mean, if you like it, cool. But meh.
That's what. To be fair, I will argue that I like all forms of barbecue, but and most of the time I'm going to go with what's Memphis barbecue. Is that the
Memphis barbecue is similar to St. Louis? It's a dry rub served with sauce on the side.
Mm-hmm. But what's the sauce? Is it molasses based or?
There are a variety of them. I don't know if there is a single Memphis sauce because it depends on how much heat you like as well.
Yeah, Memphis sauce is usually. Tomato based,
yeah, and spicier than a lot of other sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's damn good. Damn good.
I like all the barbecue. So, I'm not gonna but there's definitely times where I crave. That's the one where like I get like the cold sweats in the middle of the night on the, oh God, I need to have some mustard sauce.
Well, and the travel mag actually went into it and said Nashville was the best place because Nashville really doesn't have a signature barbecue.
No, but, it has Crossroads barbecue.
Right. It being in the region where people know how to frickin' cook a pig. And also you can get proper Memphis barbecue and St. Louis barbecue and Chattanooga barbecue and yeah, that North Carolina stuff if
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, they don't have barbecue. They don't have chili.
Yeah.
They have spaghetti with a thick sauce.
Thick meat sauce.
Thick Greek meat sauce.
I mean, it's tasty spaghetti with thick meat sauce, but it's spaghetti with meat sauce.
But you have to admit, though, Cincinnati was the origin of Montgomery Inn, which does make some tasty food.
Hairball.
And we're at the bottom of a hill. When we get extreme, you know, like if we get like a heavy thunder shower or something like that, our street floods for like a couple hours.
Mm.
And I remember my daughter, she was maybe one, and we were home one day and the street flooded. And so we went out onto the porch and we were looking at the street flooded. And she was very amazed at the fact that now the street was filled with water. And she pointed at it and went, "Fish in it?" I said, "No, sweetie, there's no fish in it."
Unless you're flooding Atlantic City, in which case, yes, there are fish in it.
Huh. Now there's of all the random shit. Hold on.
Did you ever hear this weird that when they had, it was after Hurricane Sandy, I believe, and Atlantic City flooded, that one of the streets was a couple of feet deep in water and a small, I think it was a dogfish or some other small shark,
yep,
was photographed swimming through.
Cool. So Facebook being creepy,
nice anglerfish.
That showed up in my Facebook feed as Weird was talking about fish.
Oh. Yeah, it's not creepy at all when it does that. That's adorable, though.
It is.
Not quite as adorable as the stuffed wombat that we got. I'm trying to talk my wife around to letting me also buy the stuffed wombat poop.
Wait, you haven't yet? What?
Well, you see, which one was it? I think it was this guy. I think this was the stuffed wombat that we got. He's adorable.
Doll.
Right?
He's pretty cute.
Yep.
And then there's the one that I posted the picture of.
Yes. Monkfish.
Yes. Which is a type of anglerfish.
Uh-huh.
Tasty, yep. Tasty anglerfish.
Is it? Huh.
Oh, it's good. Yeah. You have to be... It is very, very mild. So if you don't... If you're not adventuresome when you cook it, it's going to be pretty boring.
Okay.
But it's super duper easy to cook. Should be relatively inexpensive. And it's very, very firm. They refer to it as poor man's lobster.
Nice.
You would have to be pretty fucking unfamiliar with lobster to confuse
drunk.
Yeah, to confuse a monkfish fillet from lobster. But the texture is similar to, and I would argue superior to, lobster.
Hmm. I did everything right. It just hung for a moment.
Oh, wait, that's Microsoft Teams that does that silliness.
Yeah. So it was a one cooking implement dinner this time with the air fryer.
I did
a dry rub chicken thighs and French fries.
Nice.
I did you guess cut those I yourself or
are those bagged fries?
Those are bag fries.
Okay.
When we do them ourselves, they're more potato wedges.
Yeah, those look like very meticulously cut French fries.
Yeah, our potato wedges are not meticulous.
Weird now judges you.
Well, yes.
Yes, but that's nothing to do with the French fries. That's just Weird.
I am firmly on the under no circumstances do French fries come out of a bag.
Huh.
I actually bought a French fry cutter.
Yeah, so did we, but it doesn't make steak fries.
Well, that's true.
Similarly, I'm guessing where judges me for dinner tonight was ravioli in a chicken broth, and, well, the ravioli was lobster ravioli that was store-bought, and the chicken broth, yeah, I used bouillon.
Oh, okay, well, I was going to be okay with all of that, because, you know what, fuck it, some nights you don't do that, but why do you not have... Like, I literally made a gallon of chicken broth last night.
It just takes time and heat.
Yes,
but... And you can do other stuff while it's cooking down.
Literally, I set my Instant Pot and put my daughter to bed, then went downstairs, did a little bit more puttering around the kitchen until it beeped, and then literally just unplugged the Instant Pot, and then I went to bed. And then the next morning I opened it up and emptied out all the broth.
Yep.
Because at that point in time, it's one of those, like, it was still pretty warm. So
yeah, they're well insulated.
But also, there's just that one little hole at the top, and essentially it's a giant autoclave. So
it's a pressure cooker.
Yeah. So the idea, but that's what I mean. But it's also that's what an autoclave is. It's just a steam pressure cooker for your for your surgical instrument. So the inside of it's going to be all sterile. So the idea of it going bad or getting funky or off while you leave it unattended while you sleep is not a concern.
Unlikely. Nope. Audible has to poop again.
Well, then we will wait. Yeah, and I roasted a chicken.
Nice. We've done a couple of rotisserie chickens in the air fryer. Mm-hmm. Man, those come out really good.
You know what? It's kind of strange that I wonder why. I wonder if you could get a bit for your French fry cutter that would cut steak fries.
Well, this is an old one that it just has the mesh blade end.
Yep.
And it doesn't come apart.
Okay.
So you put the potato in, you push the lever down, it forces the potato through the blades.
Yep.
I mean, I suppose I could go through and cut some of the intervening blades away for steak fries.
Yeah. I prefer shoestrings myself, though.
No. That's the angel hair of French fries.
I also like angel hair.
With certain dishes, yes. Like with chicken piccata, angel hair is pretty good. But as soon as you get into a red sauce, angel hair is just too delicate. The flavor just...
If you say so.
That was a quick poop, Oddball. So wait, weird.
Yes.
Oddball's not back yet. What do you think he's doing?
He is either refreshing his drink or getting hit with a frying pan.
That's not what you usually suggest he's doing.
Well, I would think he'd be polite enough to... Either he'd be polite enough to A, not do that while in between movies, and B, do it long enough that certain someone would enjoy it and not.
That's not what I was referring to, but I like the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you say, you bet he's pooping.
Well, I bet he is pooping.
There you go.
Well, shit.
Exactly.
But. Yeah, talking about like Jägermeister is I never really listened to music as a kid because it was boring and no good, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I don't see the point in this stuff. Well, so here's the interesting thing though, is that then my dad got me like a jazz cassette. I don't even know why, and I started listening to that. I got super into that and started like really kind of getting more of the hang out on like chord progressions and all that. And then all of a sudden, like I could listen to pop music.
Huh.
And
pop music.
And I would argue on the same line of it was because I got like way into like Alpine Amaros. I started drinking, you know, Fernet Branca and Underberg. Suddenly when I picked up Jägermeister, I realized that, this is by far the least sophisticated of all of those. Because it has a common thread with those, actually, it's not that bad.
So what are you drinking tonight?
Tom Collins.
Jaeger bombs.
Seriously?
God, no.
I bought a bottle of Jaeger a while ago and just didn't feel the need to replace it when it was gone, but it went away, and I definitely made Jaegeritas.
Jaegeritas?
Hold on. I'll find the video for you.
I mean, I did have a Manmosa once. Once.
I don't understand.
You know how Miller High Life advertises itself as the champagne of beers?
It's beer?
Number two.
Well, I mean, that's what they claim.
Okay.
Mimosa is champagne and orange juice.
Okay, I knew what a mimosa is, yes.
A manmosa is substitute the champagne with the champagne of beers.
That's just wrong.
Oh, it's a brass monkey.
Is it?
So that's kind of one of those like Martini Gibson sort of setups. So technically speaking, for a brass monkey to be a brass monkey, you need to start with a 40 ounce of malt liquor. You need to drink it down to the label, and then you need to fill it back up to the top with orange juice, and that's a brass monkey.
Okay. So yeah, pretty much.
And
it was not a pleasant experience.
I mean, I don't really like mimosas. I
like, but again, I'm a big fan of orange juice. So yeah. and you're not. So.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of orange juice, and I really don't like orange juice in cocktails because it's all you taste. I'm not a huge fan of mimosas, not a huge fan of Bloody Marys. I would argue that a Corpse Survivor number two, specifically a Corpse Survivor number two with egg white added to it, is an ideal brunch drink and should be the brunch cocktail. And one that I have had for brunch, and let me tell you, it is excellent in the morning.
I have yet to have a Corpse Survivor one or two.
Actually, do you have grape brandy as well as your apple brandy?
I do not, no.
Okay. Well, I mean, so essentially a Corpse Survivor number one is more or less a Manhattan with, instead of your rye or bourbon, it's a 50-50 split of grape brandy and apple brandy. And
okay.
It's really unremarkable. It's like a lame Manhattan. It is remarkably similar to the other day I made one just cause I heard, I was actually listening to a comedy album called, Live with a Manhattan, and, it's a Boston comic. I forget his name, but it's on Spotify for anyone who wants to listen to it. It's funny. It's really funny. But, he was promoting it on Bill Burr's podcast, and they were asking, Bill's like, oh, is the Manhattan your drink? He goes, yeah, that's my before dinner drink. And he goes, what's in that? And he stated that he made it with, it's a standard Manhattan, except he made it with Canadian whiskey. And I said, you know what? That sounds like fun. So I used one of my tiny glasses, cause I'm like, I'm experimenting here. I'm not going to bite the bullet and drink an entire one if it's not great. And, so I made a little teeny tiny Manhattan with Canadian whiskey. And, it was just an unremarkable Manhattan. It was not bad, but it was also not exceptional.
Right.
What was I just talking about? Oh yeah. So yeah.
Talking about booze.
Corpse Survivor number two. Now that's the exceptional one. And that,
which is where we lost David.
Yes, it is.
When you started talking about booze, yeah.
So, you can do an absinthe wash on your glass. I just put a quarter of an ounce in. I find that works out just fine. So, just a splash of absinthe to the bottom of your shaker, and then it is 1 ounce of gin, lemon juice, triple sec, or actually, I really like Grand Marnier. And either Lillet Blanc or Coqui Americano. And I think that's it. Yeah. And then I'll throw in a half ounce of egg white, and then dry shake. You know, the egg whites, not in the original one, but my version, dry shake, then wet shake with ice, and then strain into a cocktail glass, and then twist of lemon.
Once again, Panya is going to be upset with me with the number of bottles of alcohol.
Oh, yeah. I bring back. That's one of those ones of when I feel like a Corpse Survivor number two, like I take two trips from the liquor cabinet because I can't carry all that shit in one go.
Yeah.
Versus the Tom Collins, it's one bottle gin. I walk over with the gin and then I grab the bottle of lemon seltzer off there and I get the lemon syrup and the lemon juice and away we go. So yeah, but that is an exceptional drink. And the whole statement of it being, I mean, the whole term Corpse Survivor is kind of a hair of the dog drink of the, you're waking up hungover, you need a little eye opener in the morning. And the idea that it's only 1 ounce of gin and then 1 ounce of those other lesser spirits and lemon juice and all that, plus the added egg white, I would argue is also would also a little bit of protein to help it go down. I think would make for both a fine hangover remedy as well as brunch drink.
And then on that Monday, red eyes all around.
Yes. Is a red eye just a whole egg, Tabasco sauce, and beer? Is that
Whole egg, Tabasco sauce, Worcestershire sauce, and
Worcestershire sauce.
Also seen it with a shot of gin.
Are you sure you're not confusing it with the prairie oyster from Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm thinking the prairie oyster. Yeah. Yeah, the red eye. Yeah, I think you're right. It's an egg, hot sauce, and a beer.
Yeah, it doesn't look like any Worcestershire. Yeah, I totally get it. Again, but I totally get it on the same line of the all the I'm gonna sue you. That's my money, and I'm gonna take you to court. This is illegal, and I'm gonna see Judge Judy, and then the federal government's gonna come after you for fraud. And then I'm going to become a unicorn and I'm going to win the Super Bowl all by myself with my girlfriend from Canada.
I am so happy you were recording. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, just as he's saying all of this shit, you're like, yep, you're fucking bluffing. Hello, Bluffy McBlufferson.
Go on.
That's a lot of big talk. Why don't you try saying that in front of a grown up and see what they say?
they're
going to take your internet away and put it up on a tall shelf where you can't reach it. By the way, hilarious on the I'm up at an ungodly hour and Aaron texts me and then says good night. I'm like, yeah, good morning. I'm having my morning tea while Aaron says, fuck it, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of stay up because I didn't know if they wanted to try and publish it today, and you took your fucking time, so I needed to make sure that it met with your approval.
I gotcha. Well, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. At 10 o'clock at night! That is a perfectly reasonable time to fall asleep.
Sure, if you're a retiree.
What?
Or a child in middle school.
Oh my fuck. I'm not going to take this kind of abuse from you.
Yes, you will, and you'll like it.
I'm going to pretend not to.
Well, that's your kink, okay.
I'm going to pretend it's not awesome. It's like that Ron White joke. Oh, my grandmother, she used to give me suppositories. Oh, and I used to pretend not to like it.
I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you raising money?
Oh, shit. Yes. Right. That.
They had a Smith & Wesson number one.
Ooh.
That I was tempted by. It looks really nice. 22 rimfire.
Mm-hmm.
The tip up.
Yeah.
What are they asking for that one?
Oh, this is the Amoskeg auction, final prices. And that one wound up going for $210.
Oh, jeez.
That's not bad.
I want a nice Smith.
As Oddball and I were talking, I was posting up some of the links from the auction completion, and most of this it was like, okay, yeah, but others like, why a Star Super B semi-auto went for $350?
Because it's a 9mm.
Yeah, that.
I mean, just the idea.
I mean, it's not super high, but yeah.
You can still find them for like $300. Okay, here's one that's weird. This might hurt you a little bit. Colt Lawman Mark III went for $270.
Ooh, that's a really good price.
Hello?
Yes. Can you not hear us?
Weird.
I'm here. Test.
Maybe I heard away. Him. Maybe oh. I heard him too much with that. Because I saw that, I'm like, you are gotta be kidding me. Eh?
Let's see. Test.
Excuse me.
Discord.
Yeah, well, it gets us all eventually. Okay, so he can hear us, but we can't hear him.
Who needed to hear him anyways?
Well, I mean, he's got to do the introduction. Welcome to Film Tracks number 24.
I'm Weird Beard.
We need to get Erin in here to do her Weird Beard imitation. you're recording assholes? Oh, wait, that's us.
You know all of this is going on the blooper reel. Because I said blooper reel.
Stop being funny. I don't know if we can. You know, we're just, you know, mischievous little whatever
are. You can't just stop this kind of natural talent.
Talent. Yeah, that's a word.
Test.
I'm going to go get the sword.
Uh-oh.
Weird, are you back?
Uh-oh. She really is going to go get the sword.
See, the sword must have a specific meaning, because otherwise she would have said a sword.
Oh, wait, no, the frying pan was... Ow!
I really hope Weird was recording that. Oh, no, it's a frying pan. Ow! I heard the thwack! Panya, do it again for posterity.
David is asking you to do it again, because... He likes to hear me suffer.
Well, no, it's for posterity. I want to make sure we get a good, clean recording.
That well again. Why?
No.
I was like, oh no, she's getting the frying pan. Thwack, ow. Oh, the comedic timing is excellent today. But Weird, did you hear my from the Amoskeg auction, the Colt Lawman Mark III closing price?
Restarting. All right, let's see. Am I back?
I can hear you. All right. Oh, wait, we were supposed to say, no, we still can't hear you.
Yeah, I can see that I'm transmitting now. For whatever reason, it decided to not see my microphone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, like, I heard everything. So, like, with the exception of whatever you said after you said, did you see the Colt Lawman, hear the Colt Lawman thing? There it is. Oh, Jesus Christ. $270 right? For that? Oh, that thing is...
It's got a little bit of barrel wear, but other than that,
oh shit!
That I mean, honestly speaking, the wear on the underside of the barrel and at the crown,
that's just, holster wear.
That increases the price for me.
Right. I mean, if you take a look at the front of the trigger guard and the front of the crane, it's the same thing. The front edge of the cylinder. It's just that was a gun that was carried. Mm-hmm. It has history.
I mean, Oddball, of course. You and everybody who listens to the show and everyone who listens to Handgun Radio knows exactly how I feel about Beretta 92s. I think interesting enough, both Walthers, the Beretta 92 and the Walther PPK are two of the most overrated handguns in the world. I can't think of any other handguns that are so piss poor and have such a high regard from shooters.
That's okay. You're wrong.
I would say in defense of the PPK is if you put it in context of the era in which it was developed.
So
in now, the late 1920s, early 1930s, that was revolutionary.
I am neither. So I'm neither putting the PPK nor the Walther P38, the Beretta 92, just in single stack. I do not think the Walther P38 is overrated at all. I think it is an amazing gun and great provenance, and now it only exists as a collector's item.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was, and like pretty much after
that. Again, it was a revolutionary, it was the first service pistol double action. Just like, I mean, but the, again, the PP family of pistols, PPK, PPKS, if you look at them in historical context, they were fantastic.
But Walther is still selling them today, and they are not selling them to holster sniffers and crufflers. And they're selling it to people that want to be James Bond or who think it's a good carry gun.
And honestly, if that had not been chosen as the Bond pistol, it probably would have gone out of production 40 years ago.
And Beretta would still be selling single action 25s.
I will say weird that I follow a number of fairly high-end trainers that report on what they see on the line, and they're seeing a lot more 92s these days. And there's actually been a number of folks using 92s in competition to good effect.
Well, I could
besides Langdon.
I could see him as competition, though. I could see it as competition because, again, the only little foible for them is, they're insanely reliable. So you've got that.
With good magazines.
Yeah. But yes. I mean, that's
as with any semi-auto pistol.
You and I both carry 1911, David. You know what shit Checkmate magazines do to guns.
I was in on a group buy of Checkmate magazines.
Oh, Jesus. Did you hammer,
on the plus
have
side,
you hammered them all flat and thrown them in the trash by now?
No, even better. Even better. It was either Ed Brown or Wilson Combat. I think it was Wilson Combat did a send us your old magazines and we will give you credit and sell you our magazines for $10 each.
Oh, I love
that. Nice.
That's all I have.
Yep.
I have one Chip McCormick 10 rounder.
I've got a bunch of Chip McCormicks. I've got a bunch of a few Wilsons, and now I've got this 7 or 8 Ed Browns that I traded for Checkmates.
Interesting enough, David,
I paid them $10 to let me trade them.
When I bought my 5-inch my 5-inch stainless 1911, it came with a pair of Chip McCormick Shooting Star 8 rounders.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's what I carried.
And I shot both of those magazines out inside of 500 rounds. And then I went, because I like the witness holes on the Shooting Stars. I just like the individual counting as opposed to just the
slot, the
visual seeing. I mean, it's just a personal preference.
Of course.
And so I kind of steered away from the 47Ds. And just bought another set of Shooting Stars because I'm like, oh, these came with the gun. I bought the gun used. Maybe they'd lived a hard life, and clearly the gun I had was shot. It was not a safe queen,
right?
And so I shot those, and inside of 500 rounds, both of them, the feed lips started spreading. And
because I've got a bunch of Chip McCormick's, both the plain base plate blue and the bumper base plate stainless, and I haven't had that issue with mine.
Four of those bumper plate base plate stainless ones, and every single one of them. I even did I loaded the magazine, and took a black Sharpie and drew a line from the tip of the bullet to the rim, and then chambered the round. It took two tries to chamber, fired off the round, and then found the brass and found there to be at 10 and 2, just like the steering wheel. There were two
where the feed lips were rubbing.
Two scratches in the round. The feed lips were spreading, and so it was starting to the round was dragging on the feed lips instead of traveling up underneath them when the slide hit it. And that's so weird. I threw those two in the
Yeah, the trash. I mean, once that goes, they're done.
Exactly. I threw them in the trash and bought a pair of 47Ds. Oh, oddball. That's yours?
That's mine. I picked it up today.
Yep. Before we get too far into that, the last link that I posted, weird.
Yep.
It was for a Colt Cobra Venezuelan contract, 38 special, 5-inch barrel, double action, that went for $400.
Wow. I don't know much about the Venezuelan contract. Do you know how many guns were in that?
I do not, but it's another little bit of interesting history.
Yeah.
But it was made in 1955.
Cool.
So that's kind of the 50s and 60s.
$400. Good, especially since it's a Colt too.
Right. And the 50s and 60s were kind of the high point for the Colt double actions.
Well, that's crazy. But I started this whole discussion about the Beretta.
Yes, the Beretta 92.
Yeah, the Beretta 92, and saying that I don't like them. I think they're overrated. And again, the PPK, I think, is overrated today. I think it was absolutely the pinnacle of carry guns in the
the 30s and 40s, 50s.
Yeah. I mean, even up to the 70s. If in 1974, if you're carrying a Walther PPK, I can understand it.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do what they could to get around the Colt patents, because the ultimate carry gun from the turn of the century pretty much were the Colt pocket hammerless. I mean, there was nobody could really compete with that if they both showed up in the same market, unless there was national pride at stake.
Well, the difference being that the PPK was double action,
right?
So, but you know, so even though
the Colt was much more snag resistant, or to put it another way, if you went around Spain and found the like Ebar, which one were they copying? It wasn't the PPK. Yeah.
But
and the Ruby is basically a cheap copy of the pocket hammerless, which is technically not hammerless, but that's a different matter.
Especially since there is the FN 1910, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is a legitimately Colt quote unquote copy of the Colt pocket hammerless, but is actually a pocket hammerless.
Yeah, there was one of those that sold for $425, the FN 1910. That was one of the ones like, there's the link to it. It's the condition, considering it's 110 years old. No, actually, wait. Does it say what year?
It should say on the slide.
Well, they usually just have the serial number. They don't usually have the date.
That was Colt's. Excuse me.
Right. But this was under half a million. So it might have been pre-World War One.
Jeez, that's a good price, $425.
Uh-huh. And just look at it.
Yeah.
If the other grip is in the same condition.
Yep. Even though it was FDR's carry gun, that does taint it a little bit. I mean, it could be worse. It could have a swastika on it, but that wouldn't make it that much worse.
Well, I mean, it is also the model of gun that kicked off World War One, so
it's true.
Yeah,
but but needless to say, I don't like the PPK. I don't like the Beretta 92. But when my wife and I were leaving Costa Rica, clearly, by the way, Costa Rica either gives a stipend or just simply requires all their police force to buy their own gun, because I did not see the same gun in a holster that entire time I was there. I didn't see, I mean, there's not a ton of police officers. It's not like much of South and Central America where there's cops everywhere and they're constantly shaking people down. No, it seemed they were just legit police force. They're pulling over speeders and that sort of stuff. But I mean, there was, you know, Colt revolvers, Smith & Wesson revolvers. I saw a bunch of 1911s. But as we were leaving, there were two custom officials that we saw on our way out. And one was a woman, and she had a Ruger SP-101 with like a 4 or 5 inch barrel, a long barreled SP-101, and two speed loaders. I'm like, wow, you are optimistic. You are carrying 15 rounds on you. and only five of them are in your gun, and you are an officer and you're open carrying. Okay. I mean, do what you will. And but the other guy had a Beretta 92, and the Beretta 92 looked very, very close to the one from Lethal Weapon and Die Hard, of which I handled when it was in the NRA Museum collection.
Oh, okay.
And that gun had been rode hard and put away wet. It was like every high spot was just in the white, and there were just little nicks and gouges and all that. It was just, but it was not a bit of it was abused. Like, obviously it was not like that alleged Smith & Wesson 29 that Clint Eastwood pitched towards a mattress that was on the ground for him to throw down the gun onto.
Yeah, I know,
and
I
he
know,
totally
I know.
Missed it, and it went sliding across the pavement.
Ooh.
Gravel. I thought it was gravel.
Either way, the gun got fucked up.
Yeah.
What in the blue fuck? Tell me you're buying that oddball.
Really? I have the loading dies. I can load some softball rounds for you to get used to it.
Dude, that is such a fucking football bat. You need that gun.
Yeah, but look at the rounds that they've got posed next to it.
Oh yeah,
those are hammers.
Oh,
right, those and, are those will go through a buffalo the long way.
A little stump.
So I think this is actually a custom job because somebody is sick.
It is so good looking though. I love that they did the
profile of the cylinder.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the Kimber.
Mm-hmm. I've heard horrible reviews on the Kimber.
Really?
I've been hearing some bad reviews on that lately. I don't know why. Because it was...
Yeah.
And it had... when it first came out, it got a lot of good reviews.
I mean, I know I know the Bells, Bill and Jordan, they got a hold of those right off the bat, and they were very, very pleased with it. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know them, but I saw a bunch of other reviews when it first hit the market.
You've read articles by Bill.
I'm sure.
I forget what his cowboy name is. Do you know off the top of your head, Oddball? His cowboy action, because he sometimes wrote under his cowboy action name.
No, I should know, but I'm blinking out.
Yeah, but the...
Bill Bell?
Yeah. William Bell.
There's an American singer named William Bell. I don't think that's who we're talking about.
These guys.
Holy hell, they actually won
the Tactical Life Gun Magazine.
The reviewer got Buffalo Boar ammo to test it with.
That was the ammo I was trying to remember.
That's what those stump pullers are.
And posted up the chrono.
but they got a hold of it, and Grant Cunningham, of course, helped design it.
Yeah,
and he got a hold of it, and he is more than pleased with it, and he is very much, when we talk with him and Ryan, he's just like, oh yeah, no, I know Kimber sucks, and that was one thing he was terrified on, and he said, do not take this design that I am helping you with and fill it full of shit MIM parts. And maybe they finally have, but
yeah, because I've been hearing from other people in the industry that they started having them come back.
Huh.
You know, customers buy them and something goes wrong. They're out of time.
Oof.
Huh. I'm like, is it just a bad batch? Cause that happens.
Or maybe again, Kimber, just like Taurus, is not a bad manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is their QC is not
right.
And so I wonder if they devoted what would be a normal amount of QC on the line for the K9s when they were first coming out, so they could establish them, because they were taking a huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they turned around and
okay, we're good now. We can do whatever
now. Yeah, and now we can ride on our Kimber name, and which is not a mistake for them, because Jesus Christ, the number of shit-tastic 1911s that they sell for over $1,000 a whack. And then the people have to go and put another $500 in it in gunsmithing.
Right. Meanwhile, I've got my Rock Island Arsenal that I paid $319 for.
Yeah.
I think, or $419.
Yeah. And my Smith & Wessons don't go for that much.
Yeah. Some of the early Smith 1911s, they had some extractor issues, which confused the hell out of me, because Smith went with the external extractor because they'd been making external extractor semi-autos since the Model 39.
They
know how to do that.
It's the 4506 for the 45s at least. I don't know about the 9mm ones, but the 45 caliber Smith & Wesson's, it's the 4506 extractor.
Right. So they know how to do this, but when they first released their 1911s, they had a batch with bad extractor problems.
Maybe they just
it was very short lived. It was a fairly narrow range, and they jumped on it and made it right. But it was like, how do you
I bet it was the extractor spring. I bet it was the extractor string. I bet they didn't tension it enough
but again, they should know how to do that.
The big thing is though that I'm going to say about the Smith & Wessons, every single holster I have ever bought for a 1911, my Smith & Wessons drop into it like they were poured into it. They just drop in, they click, and it retains them beautifully. They are the exact dimensions of the Colts.
Oh, the external dimensions. Same thing with the SIGs, I've heard.
Except the
contour of the slide of the earlier ones had that squarish SIG appearance. The newer SIG 1911s, they've got that same rounded contour.
Yeah.
Oh, and did you guys hear that HK is releasing a civilian legal version of the MP5 pistol?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Not that because they licensed the 22 to GSG and they'd licensed a 9mm somebody else at some point.
Yep.
But this is the actual HK MP5 pistol
for 2 kilos.
Yeah, and I think they're charging $2,500 for it.
I wouldn't surprise me, but that's why I posted those two pictures because I'm 2/3 of the way there.
Share this quote.
Yes, thank you.
I need to share this quote from the review of that BFR 4570 snubby.
Yeah.
And I went into this knowing that the levels of recoil with heavy loads would be memorable, if not downright educational.
Yes, you learned something, didn't you?
Well, especially when you look at this gun. By the way, this is from the American Rifleman. It's titled Review Magnum Research Thunder Snub BFR and 4570 Government. So Thunder Snub BFR should get you there on a Google search. Mm-hmm. For those that are listening on the blooper reel. And I will note that it is a snubified and contoured BFR. With the, what is it, 3-inch barrel?
3-inch barrel, yeah.
Yeah, 3-inch barrel, 4570.
But the grips are also slimmed down, which is a colossal mistake.
Oh, no. No, it's a brave choice. That's what it is. It's a brave choice there, Chuck.
So's that Russian protester that hammered a railroad spike through his scrotum into the ground.
I don't think that was brave. I think that was vodka fueled rage.
And one of the rounds that he tested was a 540 grain round.
Yeah, the Buffalo Boars.
Actually, Garrett Hammerhead.
The hammer. Yeah, I said those.
And it was averaging 967 feet per second muzzle.
Out of a 3-inch barrel. Now imagine that out of a 24-inch barrel.
Right.
Like 1,200 feet per second or something.
Dear God. He also found a Underwood Extreme Hunter 225 grain was getting 1730.
Yeah, that's like a just over 2,000 foot per second out of a rifle.
But I still think it'd be a wiser choice just to buy a Ruger Alaskan.
Yeah. Because then you could at least fire 45 Colt out of it.
Yeah, but why would you?
Well, until the carpal tunnel surgery heals.
That's true. That's true. I have only shot one wheel of 454 out of a Ruger Alaskan until I get mine.
Yeah, right.
It's only a matter of time.
I was in the store today, and there was family. It was the guy had served in the Marine Corps, and it was his birthday, and his wife bought him a party at the range. So it was him, his wife, their two kids, and a couple of friends or other family members. And so they went out and did some shooting, and you're like, I haven't fired a gun basically since I left the Corps. I've been talking to my wife about getting one for home defense, and she's been saying no. But then she got me this, so maybe that's changing to a maybe. But towards the end of it, he went out and he rented the SCAR Heavy, the 308 Ooh. SCAR. And he brought it out and fired. And that is, if you've ever fired one, that is a beautiful rifle to fire.
I love them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is everything a semi-auto 308 should be to fire.
Oh, speaking of semi-auto 308.
Mm-hmm.
Weird knows where I'm going with this.
Oh, fuck. Spit.
Friend of the show, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind. Yeah. No, yeah. No. Throw this one in there, oddball. Because actually, I don't have a recording. This David will appreciate this more, and I do not have a recording for the blooper reel because it was just too much of a pain in the ass to contrive it between me and Aaron's tracks when you told her.
Right.
Okay. Let him speak.
But he sent me pictures of his latest build.
Uh huh.
It's an AR pistol.
Uh huh.
It's an AR-10 pistol.
Uh huh.
In 308.
Well, yeah, it's an AR-10 pistol.
With a binary trigger.
Oh my god! That is awesome!
11.5-inch barrel. Arm brake.
What kind of muzzle device does he have on that thing?
I think it's just a standard muzzle device.
Is he bringing it to the blog shoot?
Oh, he's yeah.
Okay, good.
Hi, my name's Adam. I used to have a beard, but now I don't have it anymore because the fireball burnt it off.
Right?
I used to also have fillings in my teeth. Them came out too.
Eyebrows? What eyebrows?
I used to have a convex skull.
Well, no, if it's a standard muzzle device, he's in the cone. It's everyone around him who's going to hate life.
It is... Not a standard birdcage, but I'm not sure what kind of muzzle device that is. But
I'd love to see what would happen with a redirect cup on there, like a flaming pig.
Right. Oh God.
You could literally set a target on fire.
But yeah, he mentioned that he may get some loose fillings after his first range trip, and I told him. Yes, and if the gun doesn't do it, all the other people on the range will help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since he was considering going to an indoor range with it.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you that story the other night? I'll tell it again just for David's sake. But my friend who hand loads for his 500 Magnum, and who I claim was not hugged enough when he was little. Alex, he's got his
little... Was he a bottle baby?
I was.
Do you get the reference?
Yes.
Okay. I think I mentioned that when we were watching Highlander, that theory.
I think so, yeah.
I always knew you guys were bottle fed. She commented as she walked into the lab.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Well, I'll dig it up later. I can't find his website right off the top of my head. But he's the one that made the 12-gauge duplication load for the 500 Magnum. Mm-hmm. That was 330 grain, whatever 1 ounce is in grains. But he put a 1 ounce 50 caliber wad cutter with a gas check into the 500 Magnum, and out of a 4-inch barrel, he was getting 1,500 feet per second.
Oh my God.
No, this is also
on which end?
What?
On which end was he getting that velocity?
Going downrange. But yeah, by the way, this is the guy that does, if you're in Massachusetts and you take the Gun Owners Action League reloading class, this is the guy that teaches it. Like, he is doing...
I don't know if that's a really good recommendation for teaching that class.
He's doing insane shit, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He is not going to blow up his gun. Like, he works his way up, like, miking the inside diameter of the cases and things like that. So he's got some pretty crazy fucking loads. And he went to an indoor range and pulled the trigger, and the round went down range and hit the target. And the fluorescent light fixture above him shattered and fell to the ground. And this was a range that had range officers.
They're over him.
The range officer called ceasefire, got the range cold, inspected the damage, figured out that, in fact, he had fired the gun downrange, and it was just the muzzle blast that was destroying the range. He had not sent a round into the ceiling. And the range officer said, okay, I'm not going to throw you off the range because you did not break any rules. You did nothing wrong. But if you do that ever again, I'm throwing you off the range. Don't do that again. So
are we waiting for anybody?
No, we're being just assholes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we should go with our strengths.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a drink.
Take a shot of whiskey.
Ah.
Let me take a draw off my paw mall.
So, I have been playing a game called Plague Incorporated. It's on Steam.
I've played it.
I don't know if it's still going, but they actually reduced it in price for Chinese New Year.
Oh, and God, so, I almost spit gin fizz all over my keyboard.
And so, it's like... You know, you've got the coronavirus in Wuhan, and they've got it reduced price for Chinese New Year. Fuck yes, I need to play this game. I don't care how tasteless it is. And it's actually a very fun game. Mm-hmm. And it is very self-contained. And so you can play for like 30 minutes or an hour. And so it's not like a constant strategy game. And the idea is that you need to infect the world, and you need to, like, you know, kill everyone in order
kill
to win.
Kill off every last human being on the planet.
Exactly. And do it before they create a cure. And they've got the easy, medium, hard, brutal, whatever. And you start off as a bacteria. And then when you succeed on, like, normal or higher on bacteria, then you unlock virus, and then you unlock fungus, and then you unlock... like a brain worm and things like that.
Wasn't there a prion?
Yeah, there is a prion, but that I haven't gotten there yet.
I don't think I have either.
It was a flash game, and then they made it better with more options, and it's like on it's on Steam for like I don't know. I don't remember if I paid $5 or $15.
I was playing it for nothing on Android like 5 years ago.
Well,
because,
okay,
because there, ads.
There is that, but this is, you know, got more options and more fun things, and it was just, I figured I would recommend it to you as something you could do, because it would appeal to your twisted sense of humor, and also, you are a scientist, and I know that you're not an immunologist or whatever. But still, I figured it would appeal to you. Plus, it's just a fun little game that you can do in quick spurts. It's not like World of Warcraft.
You said spurts.
Yes. And so I thought you might enjoy it, so I recommended it to you. I see now that was a mistake.
No, it wasn't a mistake. I have played it, and it is a good game.
Yes, but you played like the Flash version. This has more stuff to it.
Okay.
So, you know, check it out.
Okay.
Get it or don't.
Okay.
All I have to say is those poor, poor Indians.
Do you mean the ones that call me to do a refund scan and suddenly realize that, oh, wait, I thought I was a scammer, but in fact, I'm a phone sex operator. I just didn't realize it.
Well, what I meant was that I almost always start in India.
Yeah. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Trying to remember where my go-to start place is. I tried a bunch of places, but India is actually pretty goddamn good.
Mm-hmm.
India's good. China's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some people say that they start at like up in like remote spots, which actually is good because like you'll always find that there's like 10 or 11 people up in fucking Alaska and they're like, yeah, no, they bunkered off in their homestead and there's no, the virus can't get to them now. Like, damn it. The WHO has shut down air traffic and fuck Greenland and Alaska are still doing just fine.
But as a player of the original game, you will understand this joke. Sir, someone just coughed on the Madagascar docks. Shut down the country.
Oh, good times. Yeah, and you gotta time it so that more people get infected before it starts killing people. So people just think that, oh, it'll pass. Oh, no, mm-hmm. It won't. I'm a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking Madagascar. God, bane of my existence when I first started playing the Flash version of this game.
Yeah. Oh, because you just couldn't get it to hop across the whatever that strait is.
Well, not just because of that, but because they shut off everything so damn quickly. You know. Yeah. So
that and fucking lemurs. Fucking overrated creatures. I don't really see what people are into lemurs.
I like to do it, move it. I like to move it, move it.
I mean, those lemurs are okay, but when you actually see an actual lemur, you're like, yeah, it's really just like if someone just crossbred a cat with a monkey. It's just, it's not as cool as a cat, and it's not as cool as a monkey. It's like big weird eyes. Fucking lemurs.
Don't lie, you totally fuck a lemur.
Yeah, but you gotta wrap it in duct tape first.
Well, this past fall, so November, we did get a bit of a heavy snowfall. There it is. The area was paralyzed.
Oh man.
Yeah.
We call that a dusting.
Yes.
Yes.
When the grass is poking out through it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I called it a dusting too, and I was told that I was wrong.
Nope.
No, that's a dusting.
Your attorney, Weirdington Elizabeth Beard Esquire, says, no, that's a dusting.
Yep. A couple of years ago, we actually got like 2 to 3 inches, and people thought it was the end of the world.
There was no bread, egg, or milks in the stores for weeks.
Nope.
Nearly 20 years ago, I hit a snowdrift that was bigger than my car.
When I lived up in upstate New York, you know what we called that? Winter.
Either way, wear headphones and make sure your speakers are off.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That does help.
Fortunately, I just had to reach over and twist a knob.
That's what she said?
So to speak.
Phrasing.
We know from the start this bill is bullshit.
The itty-bitty computer that can be had for cheap.
Mistletoe with Pontiac!
While we were watching the last movie, Aaron sent me an article I will share.
Da-da-da.
Bloomberg isn't running for president, and that should worry you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've read this theory when he first declared that it's to exempt him from the limits. Also, it exempts him from out. What was the phrasing? I don't remember the phrasing, but basically, blatant partisan comments. Not that really matters to him. Laws are for little people. Rules are for little people.
Yeah, I think he's, as most of his ilk, abusing the system.
Well, as long as it benefits him, it's not abuse.
Though I don't know. Yeah. I think his ego is too big to run and lose.
Remember, that's what people said about Trump as well.
That his ego is too big to run and lose?
that, you know, that when he first declared in 2016 that he was just doing it as, you know, to get more interest and discourse and things like that, and then his ego kicked in and he had to win.
I see. I think it's the other way around. I think Barack Obama ran for president as a way to promote his books and to raise his political star, and was like, holy fuck, I think I'm going to win this one.
And, yeah, well, they gave it to him for the most part, but then
they didn't give it to him. That Democrat primary. I'm sorry, David.
Oh, there was stuff that came out afterwards that between the Obamas and the Clintons
that Hillary took a dive for him.
No, not that she took a dive, but that that they basically went back on their promises to Hillary.
But yeah, I think Trump started running, yeah, just as a fact that I'm going to run, it'll be fun, and
it'll get a lot of attention.
And it'll get a lot of attention, and it'll mean I'll be able to sell higher advertising for the next season of The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he started breaking away, he just went, fuck it, let's do this. But also,
he's a very competitive person.
Oh, yeah. But that's,
and so that triggered his competitive nature, and boom, that was it.
Yeah, but and I think Bloomberg absolutely, if he started breaking away, I think he would do. I think he would absolutely become president and want to do it and be very more than happy to do it, and would be even more of a maniacal dictator than Trump is. But
I don't think Trump's a maniacal dictator. I think he's too erratic for that.
Yeah,
I think Bloomberg would be a tyrannical dictator.
Oh yeah. Because Bloomberg's like Trump. See,
also
smart.
New York.
Yeah, I am not always proud. Okay, I'm rarely proud of the city of my birth.
The city's awesome. It's just the
so-called
leadership.
No, the city's awesome as long as you get rid of about 90% of the people.
Okay, it looks pretty neat from over here in Michigan.
Yeah. Try spending the first 17 years of your life in Manhattan.
Awesome. I'll keep the first 17 years of my life in a dairy farm.
Yeah. I spent my adult life moving away from New York.
I'll go with David in the fact that I think that my neighborhood is far too urban for my tastes.
Yeah. Of course, neighborhood now is just about where I like it. We're a little too close to Knoxville, but
how big's your lot, David?
Just under 3 acres.
Oh, see, that's nice.
It's really not that interesting, but it was like, no, you're wrong, and I know you're wrong, and I'm going to prove it right now.
No, 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 no. Slap.
It's like, you should know better. Yeah, he made the claim that the Life Straw was superior to the Sawyer water filter. It's like, no, it's not.
No, 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 no. Hashtag all the no's. Imagine all the no's together in one place screaming at once.
Infinity no.
The endless possibility of all the no's. And are we talking about the one that was the Super Bowl one?
My Mike Bloomberg lost my vote with the Super Bowl ad. Thought did I not put a pretty enough bow on it for you?
Yes. Yeah.
Come this, on, weird. Get your cock out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Focus.
This ad. While we were watching the last movie, Aaron sent me an article. I will share.
Da-da-da.
Bloomberg isn't running for president, and that should worry you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've read this theory when he first declared that it's to exempt him from the limits. Also, it exempts him from what was the phrasing? I don't remember the phrasing, but basically blatant partisan comments. Not that really matters to him. Laws are for little people. Rules are for little people.
Yeah, I think he's, as most of his ilk, abusing the system.
Well, as long as it benefits him, it's not abuse.
Though I don't know. Yeah. I think his ego is too big to run and lose.
Remember, that's what people said about Trump. as well.
That his ego is too big to run and lose?
That, you know, that when he first declared in 2016 that he was just doing it as, you know, to get more interest and discourse and things like that, and then his ego kicked in and he had to win.
I see. I think it's the other way around. I think Barack Obama ran for president as a way to promote his books and to raise his political star, and was like, holy fuck, I think I'm going to win this one.
And, yeah. Well, they gave it to him for the most part. But then
they didn't give it to him. That Democrat primary. I'm sorry, David.
Oh, there was stuff that came out afterwards that, between the Obamas and the Clintons,
that Hillary took a dive for him?
No, not that she took a dive, but that they basically went back on their promises to Hillary.
But I think Trump started running. Yeah, just as a fact that I'm going to run. It'll be fun. And
it'll get a lot of attention.
And it'll get a lot of attention, and it'll mean I'll be able to sell higher advertising for the next season of The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he started breaking away, he just went, fuck it, let's do this. But also,
he's a very competitive person.
Oh, yeah. But that's,
and so that triggered his competitive nature, and boom, that was it.
Yeah, but the... And I think Bloomberg, absolutely, if he started breaking away, I think he would do. I think he would absolutely become president and want to do it and be very more than happy to do it and would be even more of a maniacal dictator than Trump is. But
I don't think Trump's a maniacal dictator. I think he's too erratic for that.
Yeah.
I think Bloomberg would be a tyrannical dictator.
Oh, yeah. Because Bloomberg's like Trump.
See, also
smart.
New York.
Yeah, I am not always proud. Okay, I'm rarely proud of the city of my birth.
The city's awesome. It's just the so-called leadership.
No, the city's awesome as long as you get rid of about 90% of the people.
Okay, it looks pretty neat from over here in Michigan.
Yeah. Try spending the first 17 years of your life in Manhattan.
It's not awesome. I'll keep the first 17 years of my life in a dairy farm. Thank you.
Yeah. I spent my adult life moving away from New York.
I'll go with David in the fact that I think that my neighborhood is far too urban for my tastes.
Yeah. Of course, neighborhood now is just about where I like it. We're a little too close to Knoxville, but...
How big's your lot, David?
Just under 3 acres.
Oh, see, that's nice.
You didn't have to stab a cat tonight?
Yes, I'm supposed to stab a cat tonight.
I thought you might have done that.
Do you want to stab
the
cat in the interim? We can wait. It only takes a couple minutes.
That
depends
would probably
on the
be
cat.
Best.
Yeah, let's yeah, not
something,
let's,
something
let's not forget about the saline injections.
Yeah. I'll be right back.
Yeah, Xander suggests you stick it in the pussy.
That's the hot beef injection, not the lactated ringers injection, Xander.
It's a hydrating fluid. Come on.
Not when it comes out extra chunky style.
Saline, salty, what's the difference?
There is some validity to that.
All right, I'm going to clap.
I mean, I don't know how PG-13 that is. I don't know if you need to cut it out or what.
Oh, but... no, I think it's... it's since you're getting it wrong, and again, it's pretty high zoot. High suit pornography terms. It's just like, you know, it's one of those like, yes, leather daddy is a little bit uncouth, but if my daughter heard the word leather daddy, my only concern about my daughter hearing the word leather daddy is that she might start talking about leather daddies at school, or when I put on my leather jacket, suddenly start calling me a leather daddy. And it's one of those like, no, that's not how this works. So yeah, I already clapped once. This is the fisting of dicks. I'm cutting that blooper reel right now where you're talking about that. Just the idea of putting your fist in someone's piss hole is just revolting.
The technical term is penile sounding.
Yes, but penile sounding is often done with a stainless sound, and not
yes,
and not a hairy arm. possibly wearing a leather glove.
I'm going elbow deep.
It's not done by a leather daddy named Blake. Lance. Carlos the dick fister. There's Carlos the jackal, and then there's this Carlos. He's far worse.
I was about to ask if there was any relation.
Oh, I'm not going to live much longer. Let's finish the show up.
Sure.
Play Fisk Dicks Part 2. Or Fist Dicks Part 2.
Yeah, weird. You fist those dicks.
Suck all the dicks Part 2. Good time.
So if you could take a pill and be bisexual, would you?
Oh, yeah. Well, so that's the hard part is one of those things of the I've had exactly one night stand and it killed me because I get very emotionally attached. And so, you know, the idea of suddenly just opening up the world to all of those possibilities and all of that, like, yeah, no, that's super exciting and super interesting. It does not turn me off in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, the fact that doing intimate things with dudes turns me off now is kind of like the why, but why? And so, yes, it would, but also the idea that I'm a married man and I'm married to a woman, so why torture myself?
Okay, so right now it would be easier not to, but if you ever found yourself single again,
oh God,
hell
yeah.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, open up to all options. Yes, I like having options. No, I can't date you because you've got a Y chromosome. How snooty can you be?
Adorable.
All right, here comes the clap. all right, let's see. What do I do here? Weird fist sticks. Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome.
The show notes are all set. Never mind.
Okay.
So are you ready for the magic?
Yes. Let us make the magics.
I'm waiting. Oh, there it is. It's beautiful. It's like staring into the sun. It's like that gorgeous selfie of yours. It is really a beautiful picture, Aaron.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed. Like, that is definitely one of those, like, it captured your soul.
Oh. Well, I mean, I obviously agree because I thought that it was one of the very few I've taken that didn't suck. So, you know, if I think a picture of me doesn't suck and everyone tells me I'm way too hard on myself, then it must be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, don't really know how it happened or what. About the only thing I did differently was I deliberately raised my eyebrows, or no, more like I opened my eyes a bit more to kind of raise, because otherwise I just look sleepy. And it's like, hey, that works out pretty good.
That might be a good trick for it. Also, it could just be, again, your mindset, the fact that it was a selfie probably helped, mostly because, so like, we had a photographer at our wedding. They took a whole bunch of pictures. They're in a box somewhere. I don't know, because we don't look at them, because my wife looks like she's the most unhappy person to be there, even though she had a great time at our wedding. That's not what the photos. That's not what the professional photos say. We got a whole bunch of like photos of like that people took at our wedding that are not buried somewhere where you can't find them. And it's only because when my wife was lined up on the photograph, she was concerned and very concentrating very, very hard to, you know, that don't screw these up. These are your wedding photos. No pressure, no pressure, no pressure. And that's what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she looks like she's everyone's gone ill on the plane and it's her job to land the 777. Weddings. And goddamn, there's a reason why Tom Collins is my alter ego.
Plus bonus content like our hilarious blooper reels, the AC Fuck me.
AC feces?
Sure.
Thanks to each and every... Jesus, that's a bad one. Thanks to each
do
and every...
Do I need to do it for you?
Would you like to? Yeah, why not? It'll be fun.
Okay. Sure.
Excuse me as I smoke myself some cigarettes.
Okay, just completely out of nowhere, that reminded me of the late 90s Ed Wood film featuring Johnny Depp and Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember who Bill Murray was playing, but there was a sequence where he's getting baptized. And, you know, the preacher does the whole, you know, do you repent of all your... And he's being, like, you know, really, I mean, serious about it. I don't remember if he's being, like, full-on Southern Baptist, but it's that whole, you know, do you earnestly repent of all your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And, you know, knowing this, you will be washed clean. And then it goes to Bill Murray, and there's just this moment where he kind of goes, sure. I mean, I think Bill Murray was in Ed Wood. I don't remember now.
It was absolutely
now.
Bill Murray.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot his character name.
Yeah, I don't know who he was. And he was just sort of, I don't know if they ever stated his character was gay. He was just sort of ambiguously something.
Well, he talks about wanting to get like a Swedish sex change.
Oh, okay, that's right. I knew that there was something, but it was just that whole... Yeah, you know, I got nothing better to do, and I'm here, so okay, baptize me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good movie. Plus, I gotta say, I have you ever seen any of Ed Wood's movies?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on them?
So bad they're funny, but I do think they would probably be improved by partaking of substances that I am too straight to partake in.
Though someone was pointing out there was I have my copy of Plan 9 from Outer Space has a documentary on the Plan 9 from Outer Space that is longer than Plan 9 from Outer Space. The special feature track for Plan 9 from Outer Space is longer than the feature. It's pretty good. But they have like a couple of like, you know, professors of film it is as some of the thing. I mean, it's a pretty fucking low budget documentary, which is super appropriate. But someone asks, you know, at the end, they go across like the entire panel of all the people they're interviewing for it is, do you believe that Plan 9 from Outer Space is the worst movie ever made? And this film professor goes, well, the composition is bad. The production values is bad. There's errors everywhere. There's all sorts of mistakes. The acting is not great. But I must say, when I watch it, I'm entertained from the start all the way to the end of the movie. And I can't say that about every movie I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's really, really good about the... At no point do any of Ed Wood's movies get, like, painful on the, oh my God, what is he trying to do here? Like... It's somewhat similar to the ACP format on the look, if you don't like this segment, just buckle up for just a minute and it'll be over. By the time you realize that you don't like that interview, guess what? It's done. You're fine. You're okay.
What came as a surprise to me was the realization that the whole shtick of vampires holding the cape up in front of their face was from that movie.
Oh, I guess I never realized that was all diving onto.
Right. Because Bela Lugosi was in Plan 9, but he died halfway through. Mm-hmm. And so for some of his scenes, they got like his dentist or whatever, who looked like him from the nose up. And so he just, you know, did the cloak over his face.
Yep.
And so because Bela Lugosi was most famous for playing Dracula, then it was Dracula with the cloak over his face. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I watched that. I was like, finally, something about my childhood, which I never understood, and I never knew that I didn't understand, now suddenly makes sense.
Oh, good times.
I'm still not entirely sure why the stereotypical vampire goes, blah, blah, blah. But maybe that was in the movie and I don't remember it. Or maybe it's some other cultural thing I missed.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just the Bela Lugosi with his Hungarian accent, just
making
you know, it's one of those like the, you know, the that joke from the Family Guy where Stewie has like a foreign speak and say, where it's just like the cow says wah. And he's like, no, it doesn't. And just the all the just the different languages in Japan, the dog says wan. I mean, I've never met a dog that says roof roof either. I mean, let's be goddamn honest, we're all wrong. Though, if you say a cow does not say moo, you are fucking wrong. They goddamn say exactly moo.
I mean, it's one of those, whenever I think about it, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. And when I have time, I don't think about it.
I've been keeping it in the back of my head, but just I have just been right out straight. Like I said, I actually, Friday was just suddenly one of those like, oh my God, everything's in the clear. Everything's going so well. This is awesome. I might hit the range and then do a little podcast stuff in the afternoon before I have to pick my daughter up from school. And then she wakes up, Daddy, God, I don't feel so good. Home with the child. No range day for me. So, but I,
you know, the I have friends who are increasingly having kids and griping about them, and I'm starting to reevaluate my thoughts on marriage and child rearing. Like, okay, I'm not especially happy where I am right now, but it's like everyone else is bitching about it too. So I can be equally unhappy and save myself money and not get puked and crapped on. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, it's one of those. They are they are definitely a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, when I was last up in Virginia, I met up with some friends of mine, and they've both got little girls in the toddler stage. I think they're younger than yours, but they were both getting exasperated, and I just turned to them and said, curse you, genetic imperative, and they just gave me that knowing, rueful nod, and I was like, yes, I love her to death, and it's a good thing, too.
Yeah, no, as well, especially that it's, they say the terrible twos, and it's one of those like when my daughter hit two, it was one of those like, oh, she's got her thing. I mean, she's a willful kid, so I mean, it's one of those like, yeah, she's a bit of a handful, but you know, she's maybe not that bad, you know, maybe she got it all out of her system, you know, in her in her early toddler times. And so yeah, it's gonna be okay. We're gonna get through it. And then we have a friend who's a special needs teacher, and she goes, "Oh no! It's not the terrible twos. It is a year, but the year starts at 2.5 and ends at 3.5. And God damn it, like right on the money, like somewhere right around her half birthday, you know, after two. Oh, did she turn into a fucking monster?" It was awful. It was just awful. I complain about her now because, oh, it's just whatever. It's more amusing than just the, oh yeah, no, she's cute. Like the get up in the morning and she just comes in and she hugs her daddy. And she says, I love you, daddy, and makes me pictures and things like that. And we have talks and I teach her how to do stuff and she's learning how to cook and she goes to her art class and she's creating and she's just excited about the world. And that's wonderful and all that. That's not interesting. Nobody fucking. you don't buy whiskey because it's sweet. You buy it because it's bitter and interesting. But 2.5 to 3.5, no redeeming characteristics whatsoever. Just fucking monsters. But it's just 1 year, but it's a bad one. It's a bad one. You can tell when a parent gets into that bubble, because it's suddenly just like the, oh my God, I don't know what the fucking story is. Yeah, it'll be another 8 months and you'll be out of the woods. And but yeah, just suddenly just so rough. But then she popped out of it. But yeah, there's still just the willful child. And then especially like her, like sick and just turned into just cranky. I don't feel good. So guess what? No one's going to be happy. What do you like the least? Cool. I'm going to do that. Oh, if you want some amusement, I don't know how amusing it'll be if you don't have kids, but there is a book called All Toddlers Are Assholes. It is a spectacular read. Like there might be some points that you won't miss just knowing the sheer desperation that happens when you're taking your kid out for a walk and they fall asleep in the stroller. And if they fall asleep for 10 minutes in the stroller, that equals a 2-hour nap. They're going to wake up when you kick them out of the stroller and they're not going to go back to sleep. And they're just going to be tired and shitty. just enough nap just to keep them from going back down. And you get to pay for it. Good times. She was so tired. This cold kicked her butt. She was so exhausted that at the dinner table, my wife looked at her and goes, "Did you hit yourself? Did you hurt yourself? Her eye, the dark circles under her eyes were so bad. My wife thought it was a shiner." Like, no, those are just pouchy eyes. Her eyes are so fucking pouchy. She looks like Rocky Balboa. So yeah, I would not talk anybody into having kids. That's just one of those, like, yeah, no, if you want them, you get it. If you're like, I don't see why to have kids. Well, you know what you should do? Don't have kids. The world's got plenty of people. It's not like we're going to get wiped out. We're going to be just fine. If so long as that, without people, everybody participating. It's all fun and games till someone gets their banjo string snapped. And you got the reference.
Well, I think I got the reference.
What?
I mean, you were talking about Deliverance, right?
No. At least according to Dan Savage on Savage Love Cat, getting your banjo string snapped is what happens when you damage your foreskin during rough sex.
Oh no, I had never heard that before.
I'd only heard it that one time, but it's Dan Savage, so it's got to be true. At least as far as that stuff goes. I mean, he says gun control makes you safer, so he ain't right about everything. But I got to imagine, all things concerning Hogan, he should know. When he's talking about dicks, he knows what he's talking about.
Okay, I didn't realize until now that Hogan was slang for dick. I mean, hog, I've heard, but Hogan, that's new.
It came from the same person that was like obsessed with referring to dick as hog. It just went to hog Hogan, as in the first three letters of Hogan is hog.
Yes, I did understand that. Thank you.
Speaking of hog, David Hogg tweets and he's a retard. I'm sorry, no offense to actual retarded people. He's way dumber than that. Cue a good-natured Down syndrome person pointing and laughing at David Hogg. Oh, you think that's true? Oh, David Hogg, the Holocaust lesbian.
Okay, that's just funny on the face of it, but I have no idea what you're referencing.
Did you see like the picture that like his current like profile picture?
No, I guess I haven't. And you're clicky.
Yeah, I just see he's like buzzed his hair down and he's like just as emaciated and shitty looking. Just someone referred to him as a Holocaust lesbian.
Okay, are you talking about his current Twitter picture?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I actually think it's an improvement to his previous look.
I mean, definitely the super duper coiffed hair. I mean, better to look like a Holocaust lesbian than a Hitler youth, yes. because he definitely had that Hitler Union coif going on.
Yeah.
Which is extra good when you're being an actual fascist and really dumb about it. But yeah, so unfortunately, I am not snubbing you, Aaron. I will be busy with.
Oh, with to hell with you, man! I wanted to meet your wife and kid.
Yeah, well, there's also that.
I mean, you know, I'm gonna be seeing you in like April anyway.
That's true.
So,
you're sick of my shit.
You're damn right.
Fuck more weird beard. Monday again.
Lie back and think of the subscribers.
Thanks to all the patrons on Patreon. I sit through this loud motherfucker every week for you, you sons of bitches. Well, on that note, I'm going to pee. Possibly in the toilet, maybe in my pants.
Okay, well, you go bleed your hog.
At least it's better than with Headgun Radio. Oh, Jesus. I was like, we sat down and we started recording and I just went, ooh, I think I may have to take a dump by the end of the show. And like, by the time we got to like the last 15 minutes, I'm just like, okay, when's it going to be done? Code red.
I keep telling you, man, have like an empty Gatorade bottle nearby, but no, you're not going to listen to me.
Oh, well, so no, but this is one of those emergency dumps. You don't want to have like an emergency dump on air. That one had some volume to it.
Oh, okay. Dump. I thought it was going pee.
No, yeah. No, I had to crap. I had to crap and it was hot and spicy and spraying. It was definitely one of those, like, you know, pushing up the sound of pushing tuna casserole through a colander. That was definitely the sound effect we're going for.
Oh god.
When will it stop? I don't even know what it was. Sometimes I know, like, I've been fire roasting jalapeno peppers all afternoon. And they just taste so good. I know I'm going to pay for it, but they're so good. And then, yep, because or I went and ate Indian food and the lamb vindaloo was extra hot. Oh, yeah. No, you're going to pay for that one. But this one, I don't really know what it was. But on that note, I'm going to bid you adieu.
Adieu.
That was just being a tagline. I will talk to you later, Aaron.
Okay. Good night, sweetie.
Good night. Oh, well played, Aaron.
Thank you.
I think you succeeded in a triple entendre with that one. Because Aaron doesn't prefer the hog, because we understand that.
Exactly.
Your preferred meat is the clam. Maybe the occasional gourmet taco. No street tacos for this lady. Ooh, street tacos.
is that the new term for a prostitute now? A street taco?
I gotta imagine. Well, so it would be a street prostitute, a common nightwalker, as you will.
Well, yes. I mean, not like an expensive call girl. But...
Exactly. Like the gorgeous one that propositioned me at 1 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas.
This is a story I have not heard.
Oh, you haven't heard about her.
No.
So when my wife and I were out in Vegas, we had dinner at a steakhouse and my wife, she's gotten better about it, but she has a very sensitive stomach and just all the rich, expensive food. And I think she was drinking wine with it and she's not much of a drinker. And so booze plus, you know, steak and pommes frites and all sorts.
Oh, look at you, you smooth motherfucker. They're not French fries. No, they're pommes frites.
Well, that's what they said on the menu. fucking dirt apples. fucking dirt apples. But she woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning and just her stomach was killing her. And she just looked at me and said, oh, there's a CVS like two doors down from here. Can you please go? I know it's 20. I think we might have looked it up or but she knew it was 24 hours. So she said, can you please go down there and just get me some Pepto-Bismol? And I said, okay. Yep, I will. And so I stepped out onto the sidewalk and started walking. And this absolutely gorgeous woman said, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Where are you going? I said, oh, I'm heading into that CVS right there. She goes, ooh, what are you getting in that CVS? And I said, I'm getting some Pepto-Bismol for my wife. She has an upset stomach. And she goes, oh, okay. Thank you very much. And took off. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, I had a ever so slightly tingling suspicion that she was coming on to me and that she was way the fuck out of my league. And so maybe my body wasn't particularly intriguing to her, but my wallet might have been. By the time I had confirmed that, because it's one of those like, oh man, like I was thinking like, Jesus, I'd pay her for her time just to talk about what's it like. Like, all right, you're standing here all on your own. Do you have a gentleman that is helping you out just in case like someone's a dickhead to you? Like, do you have protection around you? Or like, what's going on here? How's the business and all that? Like, it's so many questions, but then she was just right off and just super sweet, super nice. And I told my wife about it. She was so amused by that. And then the next day, as we're walking around to the strip, we would just see these are just casino dwellers, but they'd just be these ladies all tarted up. And I'm just like, those ladies look more like a prostitute than the prostitute. Easily the highlight of my Vegas vacation.
I'm just idly curious what the running rate would be.
As well. I've got to imagine the hotel we were staying at, it was very nice, and she was right there. Like, as soon as I stepped off the hotel property, she was in. It was clearly ambush predator tactics. And to go into the biology of it is I think she was definitely fishing for some high-end clientele, and she knew that if I was stepping out of the Mandarin Oriental at 1 o'clock in the morning, clearly I could afford to be there. And so, yeah, I'd like a little piece of that, and I'm willing to exchange some stuff. And oh man, if I was not a married man, I'd be willing to give it a thought. She does this shit for a living. I want to see what's going on here. and with $500, Weird Reared Sick Sex for the rest of his life. I didn't even know what she was doing. She had like muscles in there. She was squeezing me in ways that I didn't know what to do. I stared into the pussy and the pussy stared back at me.
Yeah, I mean, I have more than a passing interest in the difference between, you know, professional skill versus, you know, amateur talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then of course there's also the question of like, does it necessarily mean that she is that good at sex? I mean, obviously she would be well practiced because she does it for a living, but mm-hmm. doesn't mean that I'm literally going to have like the greatest experience of my life. Because, like, with the whole Elliot Spitzer thing, is one of those like, no, he wasn't spending that much money just for the girl. He was spending that much money for the girl and the discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, as you know, even with if Ralph Northam survived getting his yearbook photo published. But Elliot Spitzer is just gone because, hey, guess what? Yeah, you're the anti-prostitution crusader who's banging a call girl on the side. So, yeah, good luck with that, asshole. I mean, we should live in a world, too, where if there is a dude in a Klan hood and a dude in blackface on your yearbook page right next to your Corvette, you selected 4 photographs and that was one of them. And yep, still governor.
Yep.
Oh, so fucked up. So So there you have it, another ACP blooper reel in the proverbial can. Tape anymore. Just, I'm amused by all that. It's not a reel either. You reel up tape. Kids, ask your folks. Oh, that's, you know what? I'm going to say that one was a little bit for everyone. I can't even think of an overarching thing. There was a lot of talk. We talked about oddball pooping. We talked about guns. We talked about wedding photographs. My daughter going through the terrible tube. All sorts of stuff. We talked about Tom Collins. Oh, well, I hope you enjoyed it. I love cutting these together. And thanks again to all the Patreon patrons. We really appreciate all your help. And so we cut these together. Plus, I'm not going to throw anything away. This stuff is good. Am I right? Why would some people edit this stuff out? Nope, I keep it. So thanks again to all. And we will see you for the next ACP blooper reel.
Yeah, I don't really know what to do with that, so I'm just going to ignore it and change the topic.
I win! I win, I win, I win, I win.
Yes, yes. Okay.